It's lovely to see so many faces here, and welcome to the new faces. I love to see new faces. It's a new day, you know. It's the Lord's day, and we're here to rejoice and to give Him thanks in it. And I don't like putting titles on my messages. Those of you who know me know that. So I've just taken what it said in Matthew for this reading I'm going to do from. The title of it was Jesus is Risen. And that's what we're here to celebrate. Because without the resurrection, we wouldn't be here worshiping Him this morning, would we? Because there'd be no point. Because it's only through His death and resurrection that we can claim our way back to fellowship with the Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So let's start with a reading from Matthew 28, 1 to 15. I'm sure it's a message you're all well aware of, but it's like the song I used to sing, Tell Me the Old, Old Story. You know, and you can't overtell it. But it reads like this. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Wow. But that scripture, and it should we be surprised that that's the way the world is today? They want to deny everything. They don't want to believe it. And they were going to pay this, they were paid the soldiers to tell lies. But if you read word for today this morning, you'll realize there's one thing pointed out. Has you ever heard of anybody witnessing something while they were asleep? Yet they wanted these soldiers to say, while they were asleep, they saw that the disciples came and stole the body. How would they know if they were asleep? You know? But the Lord knows. It didn't work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open up your word to us all this morning so that we may fully understand and appreciate the cost of that precious gift that you gave us to make it possible for us to come into reconciliation with you. That required that sacrifice of your Son, your one and only Son. You offered him as our sacrificial lamb on that cross. Lord, help us to recognize and remember the true significance of Calvary and not to treat it as mere historical event. Scripture makes it very clear that without Jesus' death and resurrection, we could have no hope of salvation. So we just thank you. In the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I had thought of another title. You know, I don't like titles, but I had thought of another title for this morning's message. And it was going to be Our Only Hope, Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm sure you're aware, as from all of the songs that we've been singing this morning, it couldn't be any other day but Easter Sunday, could it? And the day when our Lord rose from the grave. We, along with a lot of Christians, all the Christians I would say, around the world, will be celebrating today, remembering what it cost at Calvary. But we need to just abide in the scriptures. I'm going to read from Matthew 27, 22 to 26. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Wow, can you imagine? The thing that I find most strange about that passage is Pilate didn't say, I find him innocent, but he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. So he didn't find him innocent. He was exonerating himself, if you will, or trying to make excuses to get out of the situation, and he didn't want an uproar. I find it strange, though, that even though that he said, you know, I am innocent of this man's blood, he then went on to hand him over to be flogged. But I'll leave you with that thought. It's important, though, that we remember that none of these events would have came as a shock or a surprise to Jesus, because no one knew or knows Scripture better than he did. And he was fully aware of the price that he was going to have to pay. And he was prepared to go to death. And he knew that the Father would raise him from the dead on the third day. He told his disciples that, didn't he? All the way through. There was no hope of a new beginning, a new relationship with God, without him fulfilling the Father's will. It's important that we take note that Jesus, the crucifixion, Easter, as we call it, was not the end, but a new beginning. It gave us the possibility of a new relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as long as you accept God's precious gift, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. He was willing to fulfill the will of his Father. They had all been ordained, all the things that were going to happen to him. And the manner and the order in which they occurred were necessary to fulfill the scriptures. Jesus knew he would be humiliated by the guards who would strip him of his robes. He knew that they would place a crown of thorns on his head and mockingly hail him King of the Jews. He knew that they would spit on him just to humiliate him more if they could. Before they crucified him, they took him to the cross and they nailed him to that cross, where he hung for 3 hours before the sky darkened. And then Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Can you imagine the agony that he must have gone through? I can't. I don't think I would have lasted 3 hours with the pain of your body weight being supported by nails in your hands and feet. I can't imagine even the situation, you know, the crowds that would have been there. They'd have been all jeering, no doubt. As they call, crucify him, they'd been shouting whatever, I don't know what they'd be shouting, but I'm sure it wouldn't have annoyed him too much because he'd been more thinking about them and if they were going to accept his sacrifice for them. You know, it's important that we remember that the Lord was there for them. And even one of the thieves on the cross next to him, even in all that pain, when he contradicted the other one for condemning Jesus, saying this man has done nothing, he said, tonight you will be with me in paradise. He had a thought for someone else, not just himself. How I wish I could be like that at times. We do tend to just worry about ourselves when we get into a bit of a hot spot, don't we? Then again Jesus cried out in a loud voice, it is finished, and gave up his spirit. Then as we read from Matthew 27 and 51, at that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Wow. What did Jesus say? The church would be knocked down. In 3 days I'd rebuild my church. But we'll come to that later. Let's look at what Jesus meant when he said it was finished. When we consider it, I think it'll become clear that he was referring to the old order of things. That demanded the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, be shed, the blood shed, poured out on the altar for the remission of sins. There was no longer any requirement for that, because Jesus had become our, for one, an all-time sacrifice, our sacrificial lamb. The old order was finished. You know, it died with Jesus so that we could live with him. But we need to meet the requirements. You know, it was not the end when Jesus died, as we are here today to remember the resurrection. Jesus is alive. A dead Savior would be no use to us. That's the importance of the resurrection. And it's important that we remember that he is alive. And if you know and love the Lord Jesus, he walks with you and he talks with you. Alone, life's not our way, as the beautiful old chorus goes. You know, all we need to do is take heed of what John 3 and 16 reminds us of. And it makes it quite clear. Can't understand it. I couldn't put it. It's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. They shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that is, people say, perish. What is perishing? Perish is to become useless. I'm sure most of you had a bicycle at one time or other, and the tube, you got a puncture and you take it out, and the rubber's been perished that much that you couldn't even stick a patch on it. That's what perishing is, becomes useless. And that's what would happen to us without Jesus in our corner. Jesus went to the cross willingly to pay the price for our sins, enabling us through belief in him and accepting him as our Lord and Savior, we can enjoy a renewed fellowship with his Father and a promise of eternal life with him and the Father, rather than the alternative, which we'll come to shortly. You know, the disciples weren't as well informed as what we are because they didn't have the scriptures to refer to. No, they had the Master with them, and they could hear straight from the Master's voice, as the old record player used to say, his Master's voice. But they wanted to know where Jesus was going and how they could get there. And Jesus made it quite clear to them, as we can read in John 14 and 6. And Rob's already mentioned it this morning, pinched it off me, I think. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It could not be any clearer, could it? There is no other way. Without Jesus, without his death and resurrection, we have got no hope if we do not accept that it was for us that he went to that cross and died, and repent of our sins and ask him to come in to our hearts and be with us. You know, it's such a simple thing to do, but sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. And isn't it funny? Sometimes a simple thing can be so difficult to do. It's so easy to admit. I know when I was a kid, I'd maybe pinch a biscuit. My mum would say, "Gerald, did you have that biscuit?" And I go, "No, mum. No, mum." And you know, the more times you say, "No, mum," the harder it is to face up to the truth, isn't it? And yet if I'd have just said, "Yes, mum," she said, well, she'd have probably just said, "Did you enjoy it?" You know, and but it's so simple, it's in our nature. We can find it so difficult to do the simplest thing. And I believe it's important that we take note that Jesus' crucifixion was not the end, but the chance of a new beginning, a new relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all who accept God's precious gift. As I say, it is God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Revelations 20 and verse 6 reads, "Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Wow. Does that sound like it's all over to you? Jesus obviously did not. Otherwise, why did he give us that know him and his disciples these instructions? Because we know him. We're his disciples, his modern day disciples. And these instructions apply to us. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. The 11 disciples and us, as I said, if you believe in the Lord, went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When he saw them, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Wow, such an assurance. He's going to be with us. We don't need to do anything on our own. In fact, in our own strength, we won't make it. We need his strength. But we need to be aware that Satan will try to invade our thoughts. And he will put all sorts of doubts into our minds. Should we be surprised about that? I don't think so. Scripture tells us that he even had a go at trying to tempt Jesus, doesn't it? So we shouldn't be surprised when he tries it with us. But we do need to hold on to Jesus and ask him to give us the strength to overcome. We need to fend Satan off with scriptures. That's why it's important that we keep reading and digesting the scriptures so that you know how to respond when asked certain things. Proverbs 3, to me, puts the best advice that I have held in my heart for a long time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Wow. Yes, if you love and know the Lord, then you know it's important that we listen to him and take our lead from him. And not as that old Frank Sinatra song says, I did it my way. Let me reassure you that my way or your way won't work. Jesus, remember what Jesus said to his disciples, which we've heard now for the third time this morning, in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So with this, I will close. If you've not accepted God's one and only Son, Jesus, as your Savior as yet, I pray that you'll give it very serious consideration, bearing in mind that there are only two options. First one, the one I trust that we all know and can claim, and if you don't, that you will make a point of getting around to it, is eternal life in heaven. The other option, and there is only one other option, is eternal life in hell. And you know, there is only one person that can make that decision, and that's each individual, because it is a personal relationship that we all have with the Lord. He loves us for who we are, and we're not all the same. We've all got faults, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but he knows us inside out, and he loves us. Otherwise, why did he hang on that cross for us? But he didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in the grave. That's why I don't like putting Jesus in a box, as I say in titles, because the tomb couldn't hold him, so the box that I put him in couldn't hold him either. You know? But that's an aside. So I just commend John 3:16 to all who are listening. Read it, consider it, and accept it. Please. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son to be our sacrificial lamb, enabling us to come back into fellowship with you. And Jesus, we are so grateful that you were willing to fulfill the Father's will and pay that cost of death on that cross at Calvary. For each one in this world, whether they accepted you or not, Lord, but to gain the benefit of eternal life with you and the Father, they will have to accept you, because that's the only way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for what you've done for each one of us. And we ask it all in through your precious name. Amen.